Right, so we have a fun day planned for us. We're going to have the opportunity to get to know several of our resident directors. So I'm going to invite some friends to stage here. First up is Adam from Brock Hall. Adam Sutherland, there you go. Next up, we have Abby Sievert from Prenti Hall. Come on up, Abby. Let's get the bro-sis going thing here. We've got Nick Boucher from Lawler Hall. Next up is Jesse Dyson from Maddox Hall. There you go. Yes. And last but certainly not least is Taylor. Come on up, Taylor. There you go. So these are five of our wonderful resident directors here at Cedarville University. About 2,700 of our students live on campus, certainly the majority of you here in this room. And these are just five of our 11 who are here to live among students, to walk with students, to do life with students. And so we're going to have some fun getting to know them and then hearing a little bit of wisdom from what God has done in their lives. So to kick this whole thing off, we've got a little bit of a game plan to get to know them. We're going to play Random RD Realities. And I need a couple of contestants. So let's see. Jason Deardorff, can you come on up? And Sarah Moore. Where's Sarah Moore out there? Come on down, Sarah Moore. There you go. Come on up, guys. So here's what we're going to do. We have Random RD Realities. There you go. Welcome to the stage. Sarah's coming. You planned this, huh? That's good for you. So we have 10 Random RD Realities, facts about our RDs. And the job for our good contestants here is to figure out which RD the reality belongs to. And so as a way of selecting who you think it is, here is a Cedarville University hat. And we're going to actually break one of the rules about chapel. We're going to put a hat on the RD.
Can I see your ID?
So, oh, you need my ID. Are you going to give me a personal caution for this? No, you can't give me a personal caution for that. We're going to have some fun. We like to have fun too. All right. So I'll read the random RD reality, and then you put the hat on, not your head, the person's head who you think it actually is. All right, so our first random RD reality is, I started riding motorcycles when I was 4. Who do you think it is? Go ahead. Who started riding motorcycles when they were 4? Ooh, Abby, huh? Jesse. All right, okay. And indeed, who started riding motorcycles when you were 4? Jesse Dyson did. All right. Yes. There you go. Very cool. All right. Our second random RD reality is, I have 2 pet birds named Thunder and Rain.
Oh, that's sick. Are they in the dorm?
Thunder and Rain. Thunder and Rain. Okay. Nick and Taylor. Interesting. So Jesse rides motorcycle and these guys have pet birds. Let's see how this works out. All right, and the owner of Thunder and Rain is Taylor. Wow, who would have thought? Taylor, tell us a little bit about your pet birds, Thunder and Rain.
Well, that was past tense, they're dead. But when I lived overseas in South America, all the guys in the villages caught birds and they had them as pets, so I figured I needed to join in the club. So I got 2 little birds, kept them at the place, and named them Thunder and Rain, so.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, rest in peace, Thunder and Rain. We'll miss you.
They're gone.
All right. So for those of you keeping score, it's 1-1, right? 1 for Jason, 1 for Sarah. All right. Random RD reality number 3. Yikes. I have eaten horse meat more times than I have ridden horses. Who is this? All right, and the winner is Adam. Okay, Adam, you've got to tell us about this. What on earth? Why have you eaten horse meat?
So in a former life, I lived overseas in Central Asia, and the national dish was made of horse meat. So it tastes like roast beef. So if you're ever interested, you can't really do it in America. But travel to Central Asia, it tastes really good. And yeah.
All right, 2-1, Jason. 2-1, Jason. Our random RD reality... Number next, I forget what number we're on. We're on 4, right? I flooded a dorm room as a result of a prank that I initiated. Ooh, bad form for an RD. Who was this? Oh, it's got to be Lawler and Prenti, huh? Yeah, I see how it is. Yeah. All right. And who is the owner of the prank? Jesse Dyson. Get out of town. Jesse, what happened?
It was a foolproof plan. A couple hundred cups full of water on someone's floor, and it escalated as my RD told me it would, and there was a lot of water everywhere.
And what dorm did you live in when this happened?
Johnson.
Wow, this was here in Johnson. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. No winners on that one. Still 2-1. RD reality number 5. I have had a total of 40 stitches in my lifetime. Who's the daredevil? 40 stitches in my lifetime. Oh, Sarah can't decide. Help her decide. Who is it? Who is it? Adam? All right. Okay. Who has had a total of 40 stitches in your lifetime? Oh, that's Taylor. Is there a connection to thunder and rain with those stitches? Something going
well,
on?
Well, yeah, I had some stitches, none directly related to them overseas, but lots of broken bones just from being a guy and sports and stitches. So, yep.
All right, still 2-1. Random RD reality number 6. I have wanted dreads since I was in middle school. Who's wanting dreadlocks here? Come on, Sarah, who's going to be? Help her out. We don't think it's Adam. It's not Adam. Oh, we doubled up. And who indeed has wanted dreads since you were in middle school? All right, 3-2. 3-2, game hasn't changed here. All right, random RD reality. I am a huge Star Wars fan and have collected hundreds of action figures and merchandise. Who is the Star Wars kid on stage? Oh, we think we know this one. They're so confident. Are they right? Is it Nick Boucher? All right. Nick, tell us about your love for Star Wars. What's going on there?
I love Star Wars. Go to opening night every time a new one comes out. So big Star Wars fan. Not a Trekkie at all. But actually had a friend when I was like 3 years old who gave me like half of his Star Wars collection. And then ever since then, it just kept building. Every Christmas, I still get Star Wars action figures. So.
Gotcha. Some like-minded people in the crowd. All right. Wonderful. Okay, random RD reality. I never did a load of laundry until my second semester of my freshman year. Once again, so confident. Adam, is this you?
Yes.
How did you manage to make it until second semester of freshman year?
I always said if I learn to do laundry, they're gonna make me do it. So I never wanted to learn, even though it's not that hard. So my first semester I commuted, and then when I finally moved on campus, I had no choice but to do my own laundry or find a girl who would do it for me, and that didn't work out either, so.
Yeah. I mean, you eventually did, right? But you're doing better than that now. You're doing some laundry.
I'm still doing the laundry.
That's good. Good for you. Yeah, by the way, the life philosophy is if I never do it well, I'll never have to do it. That's not what we do, guys, all right? No. Don't imitate Adam in that, all right? That's not what we're teaching here, all right? Okay, random RD reality. I began college as a music performance minor until I had to sing in Latin. Then I quit. Who was singing in Latin? Oh, once again, so confident.
Yeah, that's right. I could not understand what was being sung, so I was like, I'm not going to sing this. And now I think I'm getting it kind of back because I'm taking a Hebrew class, so I don't understand that either.
You sing in Hebrew?
No.
We'll have to ask Dr. Shepherd to help you with that. Yeah, sing in Hebrew. All right. Random RD reality. I am the reigning Student Development Department Fantasy Football Champion. Who is reigning as the fantasy football champion here amongst the RDs? Any assistance from the crowd? Give him a lifeline. Who do you think? Adam? Lots of votes for Adam. Adam? What about Jesse? Anybody for Jesse? No? All right. Taylor? No? Nick? Abby? Abby, we're going to go with that. Oh, we're going with... You guys are just copying each other there now.
It's right.
Yeah, you're just right. Yeah, this is not actually playing the game, Jason. Come on, help me out. All right, so who is the reigning fantasy football champion? It's Abby. All right. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks to our contestants. Give them a great hand, Jason and Sarah, for playing Random RD Realities. Y'all keep the hat. Keep the hat. That's great. Yes. Excellent. Well, awesome. That was just a fun way to get to know some of our folks here doing ministry. And I have some more ways that I want us to get to know them and what God has done in their lives and some of the things that they're doing here on our campus. And so let's start with this question, guys. And Taylor, we're just going to start down there with you and we'll come on down the line. Taylor, tell us, why are you an RD at Cedarville University?
Yeah, so in short, I know a lot of my guys I've gotten a chance to kind of share a lot of this with, but just one of the biggest passions in life for me is investing in young guys, specifically college students. That was a really significant time in my walk with the Lord. My faith really began to grow a lot when I was a student in college, and it was directly related to just a brother in Christ who kind of pulled me under his wing, and I got a chance to see just a godly man living his faith out, a cool guy on campus, had a lot of the same interests as I did, and had a chance to see a guy just living his faith out with joy. And since then, seeing the impact it's had on my life, just college ministry has been a huge passion of mine. And so that's one of the many reasons why I ended up here at Cedarville, a really cool opportunity to intentionally invest in lots of young men, and specifically that core group of RAs that you get a lot of time with each week. So.
Great. How about you, Jesse?
In my last position, I worked in admissions here at Cedarville and found that one of my favorite parts of the job, which was getting to know students deeply and on a personal level, was also one of the smallest parts of my job. And so was looking for an opportunity to be able to invest and spend a lot of time life on life with people through discipleship. Residence life was a huge part of my experience here at Cedarville. I was originally from the East Coast, and so moving 750 miles away from home was really challenging. And that first unit in Printy Hall became a family for me. And so I really loved the opportunity to be able to transition into this role and be able to do what I love, which is doing life alongside really incredible individuals and doing that on a daily basis.
For me, I actually never did residence life like as a student. So I got to come and do the Master of Ministry here, which got me connected to a lot of other RDs, which was awesome. But my mentality going into college was that my 4 years in my undergrad would be a time of like, that's when I learn, and then from there I get to just do life after that. And for me, I love asking guys questions and then having them ask me questions, because I think that this is a time where you start the habits of learning, but it just shoots off from here. So you are lifelong learners, and so I love kind of challenging my RAs, my CLCs, my guys in Lawler, and connecting them to other people around campus and just building those relationships.
How about you, Abby?
I worked in res life when I was in college and then helped with another res life during grad school, and also got to help work with college students at a local church doing internships, and just really, really love college students. I think that the Lord does something really special at a residential Christian school, and I think that Cedarville is really special and is a very unique place. And I feel like I'm working the dream job that I never knew was the dream job. So it's pretty awesome.
Adam, how about you?
Let's get real. Free Chucks. Summer's off. No, those are definitely perks, but you guys may not think Chuck's is, but when you're making your own food, it is. But before this, in the ministry position I held, it was a lot more of going out and sharing the good news. And one of my weaknesses in many ways was discipling men. And so this job, while it has been a benefit to get to disciple people, but there's been a major growth in my own life in discipleship and growing in that and getting to walk closely with students. And one thing we talk about in our life is we live in a fishbowl. And when you live in a fishbowl, you have to live it out or guys will see that you're not living it out. And so as much as it has been what these, you know, my coworkers have said, getting to disciple, but also almost getting to be discipled back by a lot of the students challenging me. And so it's been a huge blessing, but also opportunity to get to disciple.
So Adam, let's keep going with you for a minute and share just a little bit about what your journey was prior coming to Cedarville and maybe some things that just ministry-wise the Lord's allowed you to do, but also maybe some ways in which the Lord has equipped you for this role here and experience you should have had before that you didn't realize that's what the Lord was doing at the time even, so.
Yeah, I went to a small Christian college just north of Detroit in Michigan. That's where I did my undergrad in Christian ministries. After that, I didn't really know what I wanted to do next. So like most Christian ministry majors, you just go to seminary. So I started seminary and still didn't know what I was wanting to do, but through different avenues, God led me to go overseas. So I spent 2 years in Central Asia. And so during that time, like I said, it was a lot of investing in the local friends that I had there, trying to share the good news when possible. And then as I was coming home to get married, I was wondering, okay, asking the Lord, what am I going to do next? Like, I thought, you know, I had heard about Cedarville. Mindy May is a good friend from seminary. So she said, hey, there's an associate director of global outreach position available. And I'm like, this is perfect. I still get to invest in students and do discipleship. I get to be involved in overseas work. And so I'm like, this is a shoo-in because Mindy's my friend. Like, I'm in. And then I didn't get the job because a much better looking, well-equipped, better bearded man named Keith Holcomb got the position. And so when I first met him, so I said, you're the guy who got the job that I initially applied for. But it was God working all that out, because while I would love his job, I love my current job way more. And just as I've gone through, I was an RA in college, and my RD in that season of life really spoke a lot into my life as an RA and prepared me for this. And so when we accepted this role, I told Hannah that this is very similar to doing overseas work, because you're not doing a lot of, you know, church leadership that you see in the States. It's a lot of one-on-one discipleship investment, because that's what you do when you go overseas, at least in my context. And so walking through those periods of life then, and then even looking how this might prepare us to go back one day, it was kind of just one of those things that it was a huge blessing that God brought us to this place to get to invest in this. And then again, just the work he's done in my life as much as I think the students.
That's great. Let's hear from a couple of you others. How has the Lord worked in your life before coming to Cedarville, and what are the things you've done, and how has that prepared you for now?
Yeah, I can go. So my undergrad, I did at Wright State, and I went in and I wanted to be a sports broadcast journalist. That was my mentality. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a children's pastor. So ministry to me was kind of like just like the background of family life. It wasn't necessarily something I wanted to pursue. And then as I studied at Wright State, I also was a director at Chick-fil-A. So everybody loves Chick-fil-A here. I know that. But after kind of a couple of situations that went down in my life, God opened up a crazy door for me to come to Cedarville and study in that Master's of Ministry. So he equipped me through that, and also getting to serve in the local church to be able to start asking questions about what does true organic discipleship look like, see a beautiful campus of Cedarville, somewhere I wanted to go originally, and then also kind of get to develop leadership qualities at Chick-fil-A, and getting to lead a group of people and see people not necessarily as a stepping stone, but see them as people that you want to invest in, build relationships with. So after that, I got to do an internship at Grace Baptist Church down the street and work with an incredible staff over there, and really learn and get a heart for the local church, and then even learn more about what discipleship looks like there, which I think led beautifully into Cedarville and getting to partner the university and the local church and have a heart for that. So I'm growing at the same time, but just getting to answer all those kind of questions of why ministry, what does God have for me next after an RD role, and why has he had me pursuing ministry? And a lot of those questions have been answered, but a lot of other questions are popping up. So it's been cool to be kind of with this team. This RD team is phenomenal, and we're led very well by Mindy and Brad, and they're just awesome, and then obviously you. But we have a great team. So that's a little shout out.
You too, Nick.
Aw.
Abby, how about you?
When I went off to college, I went to Indiana Wesleyan and started off as an athletic training major. Discovered that I really don't like watching people get injured. So those of you that do, good job. Switched to sports ministry, which I think prepared me to lead Printy to a lot of gridiron championships. Sorry, Maddox.
Hey, along those lines, who's going to win the Gridiron Classic here between Printy and Maddox? Maddox, Printy, okay. Is there anybody else playing? Any guys playing football?
I see another shirt up here.
Oh,
so
there's Lawler. Oh, Lawler in the hill, right? Yeah, I gotcha. There you go. Sorry to interrupt there. Go ahead.
Throwing you out there. So I worked in Res Life while I was there and loved it. Got to do RAing and ARDing and have some wonderful RDs that I still connect with on a regular basis. This was a big investment in my life. Went off to grad school, was pretty sure I was gonna get a discipleship degree with an emphasis in outdoor leadership, and was gonna pierce my eyebrow, get a bunch of dreads, and go live in the woods and do ministry in the woods, like camp ministry, that kind of stuff. But the Lord kept closing those doors and ended up opening a door at a local church for me to work there. Learned a ton while I was there about a lot of different things. It was the first time in my life that I had the opportunity to do a lot of evangelism and to work with people on the assimilation side, so new people coming into the church and how to get them connected, how to build teams, how to just build a community that people wanted to be a part of and that would make the name of the Lord great. Graduated, spent another year at the church, and actually had a mentor walk up to me who I had not told that I was getting ready to leave. And she said, there's this position at Cedarville University. It's an RD position that I think you should apply for. And I thought she was crazy. And after some prayer and talking it through with her, applied, and the Lord opened doors that it just so happened that I was in town. My family's from Columbus, so I was in town when I got a call asking to interview. And so it was really helpful for me to be on campus and to meet people that were here and to see what the Lord was doing here. So I got really excited about it and came.
That's great. Taylor, how about you?
So after college, was thinking med school. That was kind of on the radar. Undergrad, was just thinking medicine would be a cool way to minister in the States. And my senior year, the Lord started stirring in my heart a desire for missions. And so I took my first year after college off and just to kind of pray through that and get some more experience. And then the Lord has just led me on a really cool journey the last 10 years since graduating college. I initially went on staff with a Christian youth sports camp. And like halfway through that first year, I was like, man, this is it. I'm going to be doing this for the next 50 years. I was getting to invest in college students, high school guys. There was mentorship, discipleship going on everywhere. But that was really when God started stirring and growing my passion and desire to leave the States and invest in the lives of people outside of this country. And so that led to 2.5 years with the International Mission Board. I served as a journeyman down in South America doing oral Bible storying and working a lot with youth overseas. And so after coming back from that, missions and ministry was more of kind of the focus. I started up seminary, and then again, the Lord just kept stirring my heart, like missions and ministries just kept growing. And I wanted to get equipped in case I were to go back overseas, which is still a big desire of mine. I wanted to have another tangible skill set to use outside of just sharing the gospel. So I went back to school and got my nursing degree. I worked in an emergency room for about 2 years. That was kind of the tentative timetable I had. I wanted to do somewhere between 2 and 4 years of nursing and then get back into ministry. And so I got a call from Mindy May walking out of the hospital one night. And I, no joke, was walking to my truck just saying, Lord, I feel like it's time to get back into working with students. And got in my truck, listened to a voicemail, made a phone call back. And next thing you know, up here at Cedarville, getting to do both missions and discipleship, two of my greatest passions, getting to work with believers here in the States for 9 months, and then like this past summer, got to go back overseas and serve, worked with some youth doing sports camps in Spain, and hopefully get a chance this next coming summer to take some guys from the dorms back overseas. And so it's just been a great fit, and I feel like the Lord's used a lot of those opportunities to prepare me and get me ready for an RD role here, so.
Here you go. Jesse, you want to jump in on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked in Res Life for 3 years here and really loved my position. I remember distinctly looking at one of the three RDs that I worked for and just thinking that she had an incredible job and what an amazing opportunity to be able to pour into the lives of college students on a regular basis. And I remember thinking, wow, I could really see myself doing that one day. And then immediately after thinking, and it's a real shame that I'm not staying in Cedarville. And so, as the Lord would have it, life changed. My family moved to Cedarville right after graduation. And so I was in the area looking for a job, and I ended up working in admissions. And that was an incredible time where the Lord really started to work in my heart as I got to know some of you guys and got to know your stories and the types of stories that you were bringing here to campus, the things that you were walking through and the things that the Lord was already teaching you, and just began to love more the residential part of our campus and our community. And so was was very well equipped and excited to move into this role by the time I did about a year and a half ago.
That's great. So one thing that you've heard, I think, from all of them is the words like discipleship, investing, mentorship, building into people's lives, speaking truth, are all the patterns of the tip of the spear of what their ministry is and why they're here and what the Lord has done in their lives to prepare them for this moment. And I think that that's a great way to summarize just with the word discipleship, right? Here to walk alongside students in all of the different circumstances and aspects of life, to be here with you and for you, to be a part of what God is doing in your life and preparing and equipping you for whatever is on the horizon down the line. And so with that in mind, let's transition topics a little bit. So within the framework of discipleship and the idea that we're here to invest in people's lives and to help everybody grow spiritually and attain the degrees that we want to attain to be used by the Lord, one of the things that's part of your role is to steward the rules, all right? And so tell us a little bit how you think about that and what role you think they have, just for us as an institution, and how it fits into your broader perspective of discipleship.
Well, it is a part of our job, but we want you guys to know that that is not, first of all, our favorite part. It's probably the part we hate as much as any of you hate, you know, having to always enforce those rules. But it is an important aspect of our job. And for us and Brock, one thing that we've been emphasizing is we want to be men of God, men of integrity, and men of character. And one thing that, as we've emphasized that over the last 3 years, is I want our names to be worth something. And when you sign the covenant, when you sign to come to Cedarville, you sign your name saying, I'm going to obey the rules that the school has put in place. Now, we are all adults in this room, and we don't want anybody to tell us what we have to do, but we signed our name to say, I'm going to obey these rules, and I want my name to be worth something, and I want the men in Brock specifically and everyone else in this room, I want our names to be worth something. So when you get married, when you get a job, when you go out and do other things in this world, that they can say, I can trust this person because they put their name by it to say, I'm gonna do what I said I'm gonna do. And so that's a big heart of mine and of the men in Brock, is having that integrity portion to say, yeah, I may not always agree with this, but I said I'm gonna do something, so I'm gonna follow through with that. And so while that doesn't mean we're gonna be perfect, I haven't been perfect in my RD role. I've made mistakes and my guys have seen that, and I've had to swallow my pride and humble myself and apologize for things in the last 2.5 years as an RD. But we are striving to do as best as we can to obey the rules that we said we would obey, just so that we can have a little bit more integrity and set ourselves apart from the world.
There you go. How else do some of you handle this?
Well, I'd just like for people to know we're not like the police department. There's not a quota. So at the end of the month, we don't have to like ramp up personal cautions and fines. I told a guy at a meal one time that I got all the money from room fines, and he almost flipped out on me. So that's not the case. We don't have a quota to meet. But, you know, we tell the RAs, and we try to do it ourselves, it's part of doing your job well is to do it in its entirety. And our bosses have asked us to enforce these rules. And all the rules are set up with good intentions, you know, and there's not always going to be this joyful desire to follow every little thing to the T. But one of the things I like to tell my guys is these rules that you may feel okay breaking, what might not be a big deal today, I ask them, what's not a big deal in 40 years? If it's not a big deal to break this rule today, what does that look like next month and next year and then in 5 years and then when you have a wife and kids? And so, like Adam said, it's an integrity thing, and just to start now practicing being obedient to your authorities, and you know, we wouldn't set you guys up well to send you out from Cedarville and tell you that it's okay to just break the rules and do what you want, and we'll always just show you grace and there's never consequences for your actions. That's not how it is in the real world, and we get it. There's a lot of rules and more than some other schools, but this is a unique place and a unique environment, and we want you guys to grow into the men and women God's created you to be, and part of that, you know, just submitting to authority and following rules is one small area that we kind of have to focus on as RDs. And like you said, it's not that we want to always try and crack their whip, but just making sure that we're living with integrity, like he said. So
yeah, so in the big picture of things, right? We're all under authority. And no matter where we go in this world, one thing that Jesus made clear to us, even in Romans 13, amongst other places, that we're all going to be under authority to a government at some point. And there might be things we agree or disagree with. And so in the big picture of things, there's a difference between biblical mandates and institutional preferences. And there are things that are very clear that Scripture speaks to that says that this is a matter of moral right and wrong that extends from the character of God. And other things, there's things that we've landed on that are wise for a community. Right? And they are things that are wise for setting a place where we can have unity, where we can have a safe environment for thousands of people to dwell with in one phase of life, and many other aspects like that, that when you look down at it, become a matter of wisdom to walk with in that moment. And as we approach those things, there might be phases of life where we all are in circumstances where there's certain things we think, man, I could go somewhere else, and you know that wouldn't be a requirement on me. But at the end of the day, what's the most important thing that we've heard here? And of how they're trying to live their lives, it's integrity, right? Jesus in Luke 16:10 said, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unfaithful in a very little thing is unfaithful also in much." And that's the heart behind all of that, is to point us back towards discipleship and growing in the Lord. All right, so there are lots of people in the room who are in a phase of life, who are thinking about what's next. Right? There are single folks, there are some students who are dating, there are some who are engaged, maybe some who are married, there are some who are seniors, and there are some who are freshmen, and all the way in between. And thinking about, and often with much stress, as I've had conversations with you all, about what's next and how this works out. So can you just share a little bit of wisdom with them about what they should be thinking about right now, and then maybe some advice for those who are about to graduate this year, they're in their senior year, and looking at what that transition looks like, maybe out of your experience?
Well, I guess I would encourage you in the same way that I said before, like, this is not the end of your learning opportunity. And life is going to present you with a lot of different things. So even if you're a freshman, don't use the next 3 or 4 years, 3.5 or whatever we're at, don't use those years just to like kind of enjoy like college life, just to like stay in college and then like expect things to change afterwards. Like, one of the things I think the rules help with is like setting those habits into practice. And so whether it's a devotional practice and like getting up in the mornings, or whether it's building in solid accountability into your relationships now, I think those are huge things that will play out in the future, whether you're living down the street, whether you're off campus, or whether you're, I don't know, 10 states away. I think that now is the time to start putting those things into practice, and then start asking questions. There's a lot of people on this campus, faculty and staff, that have gone through the stage of life you're in. And one thing that I've learned, even in my this is my second year as an RD, one of the things I've learned is that it is in those times that we need to be satisfied in the Lord and content in the state that we're at. And there are a lot of people on this campus, faculty and staff, that have learned what it looks like to be satisfied in the Lord and then can reflect back on the stage of life you're in. So ask those questions, and they will provide you wisdom, and we'll do the best we can. I know we talk about that in our RD meetings, about what it means to look or what it means to be thankful for what God is doing in our lives. So even just waking up in the morning and just saying, this is what I'm thankful for, let's move to the next day, and let's see what God's going to provide next.
That's great. So you mentioned that this habit of even a daily walk with the Lord is a big part of it. One of you describe what your daily walk with the Lord looks like, just to provide an example for students. We talk about it a lot. What does it look like in your life? Somebody please tell me you have a daily walk with the Lord.
I can follow up with that. Yeah, okay. I'll just follow up. One of the things that I love is music, and I love leading myself in worship of my Lord, and that is based in truth. And so each day I spend time in the Word, and I'm not as good as some people on this campus that waking up early in the morning, I'm not great at that. So a lot of my time is actually spent at night, but I also spend a lot of time memorizing scripture. And so just taking time and kind of just rooting truth into my life so that I can be rooted and grounded in love, to understand what is that breadth and length and height and depth, but also leading myself to worship the God who has given me that truth. And so one thing that I do is that I know God has given me some minuscule ability to play music, and so I spend time singing praise out to the Lord, and I do that on a daily basis. And that may not be all the same for you guys, I don't know.
But in English, not in Latin, right? You don't sing in Latin.
No Latin.
We figured that out.
Okay. It was so bad.
Yeah. Adam, why don't you speak to the first question I asked there?
Yeah, as we have students, again, in all different areas of life, whether, again, it's freshman or senior or engaged or whatever, one thing I think that is vital is, one of the questions, we talk a lot about calling here at Cedarville. We talk a lot about the will of God. And I think we sometimes make that more complicated than is necessary. I mean, God's will is not some hidden treasure that we have to go out and he's buried and he's hiding it from us that we have to, you know, fight to find. We have a loving God who wants us to know what he wants us to do. And so I think a big part of that is just being faithful. You know, being faithful today, being faithful next week, being faithful as a freshman, being faithful as a senior who is about to graduate, who may not know what is going to come next. But if you're going to be faithful just with the stage of life and the opportunities that God has given you, he is going to be faithful to provide more. He's going to be faithful to give you a job or to put people in your path. And so sometimes we overcomplicate this, and some people maybe may have a specific call where God is leading you to a very specific direct thing. And that's not the case for everyone. God may want you to just be a faithful employee at a job who loves the Lord, who is committed to their walk, and is committed to sharing their life with the people that they are around. And so if that's you, that is great. You're being used by God. Be faithful in that. Don't feel like you are a second-rate Christian because you don't feel like God is maybe leading you overseas or leading you into the pastorate, or you have some amazing life-changing where you've come out of a crazy sin. Just be faithful. And I think that can cover a lot of those difficult questions that we have of what's next. Well, what's next doesn't really matter if you're going to be faithful in whatever that is. But if you're not going to be faithful in it, then why would God give you something even to really do?
Yeah, I wish this was something that someone had told me as a senior, just to be faithful and to be praying about these next steps and even be taking practical steps with less pressure. So be filling out applications, be going to job fairs and things like that. But to know that you're not a failure if you don't have a job lined up by October. There's a lot of people right now that are going to be asking you, hey, what's next? What are you doing? What do you got lined up? Don't feel like you haven't made it or that everyone else has it together if you don't have a job lined up next week. Continue being faithful. Continue asking the Lord for wisdom and direction. He will direct your paths.
A lot of wisdom there. So let's close with this question. What is something that the Lord has been doing in your life here recently, and how has he been working in that?
Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with stomach cancer and battled that for a while. But one of the biggest things I've learned through that is the way that the Lord answers prayers. And the summer before that, as I said earlier, when I was at that church out in the Chicago area, one of my big jobs was evangelism and sharing the gospel. And coming to Cedarville, it wasn't something I got to do as often. And I really missed that and had a passion for it. And so the summer before I was diagnosed, that was one of my big prayers. And so I journal a lot in daily devotions, and that was something that just kept coming up and just kept coming up. And throughout the year and a half, 2 years that I was going to treatment, the Lord gave me the opportunity to share the gospel over 80 times. And it was a thing that, looking back now, I often cry at, because it's just such an extravagant gift, that it was something that I was so passionate about and that I had a desire to do, that he gave it in such a big way, but through a really hard time. And that was really cool and something that was unexpected.
I was just going to kind of say, at the end of last year, I think one of the things the Lord was really challenging me with was, okay, you know, you're out in the working world now, a grown adult, like, you know the gospel, you've started to practice discipling and evangelizing and living in community, and you know the word and going to church and things like that. But I think one of the things that I still desired to grow in was just my personal daily, like, hour by hour walk with the Lord, not just that time in the morning or at night or throughout the day when you're in the Word or in the classroom, but what does it really mean to practice being in the presence of the Lord and living like your entire day out, abiding in him? And so John 15 was a place where I really kind of camped out at the end of last year and still kind of marinate and think through that passage. And just want to encourage you guys, I have this conversation with my RAs and some dudes in the dorm quite often, to just not just that time in the Word in the morning, not just your class time, not just your Bible studies, but what does it look like to really walk intimately with the Lord throughout the day, moment by moment, hour by hour. And that might not necessarily mean you're quoting scripture to yourself as you're walking to class every single second of the day, or reading your Bible every second that you have free time, but to just continue to surrender your thoughts and your life and your desires and your prayer requests, your future, your relationships, at his feet, laying those things down at his feet, and just allowing our minds to be fixed on things above, not on things below. Could probably preach a sermon for an hour on this topic, but to just really try and go beyond. Here at Cedarville, right, we have so many people who love the Lord and have known the Lord since they were little kids, but to really see what it takes to kind of grow into that next level with the Lord, and remembering that it's really his work in you doing that. So,
yeah, if you know my family at all, one thing that you know that we're kind of walking through is just the adoption process. Me and my wife we're currently matched with a birth mom in Dayton. But God has taught us, mounds of things over the last year and a half as we've been in this waiting process. And there was a chapel a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where he was talking about the purpose and the preparation part of waiting. And it has been, it's been life-changing. It really has been. Just being content, as Nick talked earlier about, you know, walking with the Lord and what the gospel means and the gospel being enough. I would love to adopt a child, but if God never gives me that child, he's got to be enough. The cross has got to be enough. If I go through suffering or hard times for the rest of my life, the cross has still got to be enough. And so as we've walked through that phase of life, just learning so much about my adoption into God's family, what that means. We're currently matched with an African-American mom, so we are going to be adopting, hopefully, a black child. And so what does that mean for my family as we ask questions of race? Of my child is going to experience things that as a white male, I will never have to experience. And so the blessing that has been, just asking the questions and exploring what those answers, and having people here at Cedarville who can speak into our life. If we never get a child, but God has taught us things through just going through the process, it's been worth it all. And so that's not always easy in the moment. And even now, knowing the situation that we're walking in, it's definitely not even easy right now, but still being thankful that God doesn't just put you through hard things and not teach you if you're willing to learn. And there are sometimes I'm stubborn and I'm angry and I'm frustrated, but I'm thankful for a patient, gracious God who says, but look at it from this perspective, with the gospel being that foundation. That is, it's been not something I want to boast in, because God has been the one who's done all this work in our lives, but just very thankful for the way that even an adoption process can draw me so much closer to the Lord.
Amen. Well, you've heard from five of our 11 RDs. There's six others. I see Jacob and Colin down here, and there's several others. And they're wonderful, godly people who are here to invest in your lives and walk alongside you. And you've heard their heart this morning that represents just so much of the depth of their lives. And so just give me give them a round of applause just to express your appreciation. Thank you all for being willing to share your hearts here, and I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace this morning. We pray that you'd have your hand on these 11 men and women who serve so faithfully, Father, to protect them from the attacks of the enemy, to foster their abiding in Christ, as Taylor has spoken to deepen their walks with you, and Father, out of the overflow of their walk with you, that you would use their lives to impact many of us around them. Father, we pray that as we go about this week, that you would sustain us by your grace and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.